Amen. Let's go to the Word this morning. A new little series we're going to kick off. Can you say it with me? Under construction. And if you're new today, and most of you aren't, but if some of you are, this is how we do it. I'll ask you things. You talk back with me a little bit. You'll live. It'll be fine, honestly. And then with scriptures, sometimes I have you say things because it'll get in your brain a little bit better. And you might actually leave here going, huh, I learned something, or I remember a little something. That's the goal. Can't guarantee it, but that's our goal. Let's go to the message today, under construction. Amen? Can you say that with me? Proceed with what? Proceed with caution. There's a man in the Bible. His name is Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Actually, the book that we're going to look at today, Book of Nehemiah, named after the man. Guess what his name was? Nehemiah. See, you've already learned something. Here we go. We're going to talk about the man Nehemiah. And he's a Jew, but he's in Persia because the Jerusalem has been conquered. The city has been ransacked, destroyed for many, many, many years. Okay? And about 90 years before we see our story in the book of Nehemiah today, permission was given to the Jews, to Ezra and to others, to go and rebuild Jerusalem. So how many years before our story today? 90. Say it one more time. How many years before our story today? 90. So this city of Jerusalem, the walls broken down, torn down. Why? Because that's what they did in those days. They'd go through and just conquer and just destroy places. And so this was that wonderful, that beautiful city of God, Jerusalem. And so 90 years. How old is Fellowship Church? 9. I'm going to tell you something, church. I'm not going to be doing this 90 years. Amen. You listening to me? We ain't going to be doing this 90 years, baby. As far as building something. No, we're going to get this thing done. Amen? But here's 90 years. Teams and people had been sent to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. Let's start and see what happened. The words of Nehemiah, chapter 1, the son of Hechaliah. It came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, Nehemiah speaking, I was in Shushan, the palace. Sounds like a pretty good place to be. That Hanani, say it with me, one of my what? Brethren, came. He and certain men of where? Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which had left the captivity, and concerning where? Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in what? Great affliction. And what? Reproach. That's not too good an answer he got, is it? The wall of Jerusalem is what? Broken down. The gates thereof are what? Burned with fire. You ever asked somebody something and wished you hadn't asked? You ever done that before? How are you doing? Oh, my gosh, I wish I had that. That's sort of what happened here. How's Jerusalem? How's the captivity? How are the people? How are the walls? It's been how many years? 90. Not exactly the answer he was looking for. Okay? Now, Nehemiah asked the right question. If you want to find out something, I mean, you need to ask the right question. He asked the right question. He wanted to know how things were there. Nehemiah was, actually, we'll see a little bit later, he was a cupbearer in the court of the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. He was the cupbearer, which is a place of really prominence and leadership and counsel to the king. You know, today in politics, you'll see our politicians, especially the president, will have maybe a right-hand man or somebody that's close to him that he talks to, gives him advice. And I'm hoping somebody's going to help with some advice up there. But anyway, that's another story. I got to stop. Here we go. But anyway, he had this guy, Nehemiah, was right there in that position. And But he was a Jew. He was Jewish. He cared about his homeland. And so he asked this question. It was the right question. And then Nehemiah asks, say it with me, the what? The right person, the right question. Who did he ask? He asked somebody that had been there. He asked somebody who just come from there. He wanted to know, what's the state of my country, my city? And Nehemiah received the right information. Got the right answer. You know, not the answer he was necessarily looking for, but if you're going to get something done in your life, you need to ask the right person the question. You need to, you know what I'm saying? And you need the right information if you're going to move forward even in your own life and what you're going through and struggles. And so Nehemiah asked the right question, gets the right answer. It's not always the best answer. Sometimes we like to live with our head in the clouds. Don't tell me anything bad. You know what I'm saying? Would it be nice if that's the way life was, say? Life isn't all good sometimes. Sometimes you got to deal with stuff in your life. You got to ask some questions of yourself. You've got to look at your life. You've got to make some changes and adjustments and move forward. So he asked the right question. And then, say it with me, Nehemiah was what? Prepared to do the right thing. He wasn't just asking a question for nothing. And he really cared about his homeland. So let's keep looking. What can we learn today? So it came to pass, verse 4, we haven't missed a verse yet. It came to pass, Nehemiah talking, when I heard these words, that I sat down and what? I wept and I mourned certain days. It affected him so much. He cared so much about his people, about his homeland. He was hoping that things were going to be better, that these walls were going to be built, that people wouldn't be suffering anymore. But they were. And so he prayed before the God of heaven. And then, so Nehemiah prayed. When he heard this answer, he prayed, oh God. And it just, you know, you can just see the anguish of his soul. Does Nehemiah have a pretty good life himself, yes or no? You think he has a very good life? Oh yes. Sometimes, folks, we got to get to the place where we don't just look at, you know, how happy we are. Amen? Yes or no? That we care about other people. That we have vision for other people. Why are we building a facility down in Rotunda? I'll be honest with you. I love every Sunday coming here. I even see our workers. I don't hear them complaining about setting up. I don't hear them complaining about pulling the trailers up. I don't hear them complain. Matter of fact, Charlie talked to me the other day. He said, I'm going to miss so much the trailer coming in and setting up the drums. You understand? Why are we building that facility? It's for others. Why are we doing it debt-free? For guess who? Others. I can't wait to the day that facility is done. I can wait, and we have to, we will, but I'm looking forward to the day when I can stand back and go, this, all of it is paid for. And I'm going to love the opportunity when people come, and I'm going to be able to tell them that. New people coming into our church, and I can tell them, we did this for you. Because a normal thinking person's going to think we're in debt up to the gazoo, aren't they? Say, yes or no? You kidding me? Y'all didn't. And then the next thing they're going to think some fat cat rolled in and gave us a check for the whole thing, aren't they? Say, did that happen? No! It's hard work. And sometimes you need to care about people other than just yourself. Amen. And this is an opportunity. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Because, quite frankly, I'm happy here. If it was just about me, I can worship God right here, can't I? But it's not just about me. It's about people. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And Nehemiah was happy, wasn't he? Say, sure he was. Got a tremendous position with the king. But he on purpose asked that question. Because he had something in his heart that cared for people. Let's look at it. Don't go sleep on me. He prayed. Say it with me. He prayed to what? To for what? One more time. He prayed to for what? Seas. And this is something you and I can learn from. Let's look at this man's prayer. Let's see what he prayed. Let's see how he prayed. And see if we can't incorporate that into our own personal life. He prayed. The first prayer, the first part of his prayer was the character of God. When you are praying, it is a good thing to start your prayer, to include in your prayer how big your God is. Amen? Say.
That's why the little, I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Listen, we got to grow up from that kind of praying, church. You need to start praying the character of God, the bigness of God. Amen? It's amazing how your head will get lifted up out of the crap you find yourself in, excuse me, a lot of times in life, if you start praying that you've got a big God. Are you hearing me or not? All right? A big God. Pray the character of God. Look what he said. Verse 5. He's praying to God. Oh, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. Look at that. Say that with me. The great and terrible God. People wonder, what's that word terrible mean? Here's what that means. Awesome God. Mighty God. You're the great and powerful God. And he's crying out to this kind of God. You pray like that and you talk like that, don't be surprised if you don't get some encouragement in your life. Amen? Come on, that you start really believing God's going to answer your prayer. But if you pray my little lay me down to sleep prayer, don't be surprised if nothing ever gets done. You hear me or not? Pray the character of God. You're the God that keeps covenant. You're the God of mercy to them that love you and observe your commandments. You are that kind of God. So that's how he started his prayer. He prayed what? The what of God? The character of God. Amen? Number two. His prayer included, say it with me, confession to God. Don't be pulling up your little truck, your little wagon to pray for God, to pray to God. And like, God, I want this and I want that. Now, how about start praying his character, who he is, giving him glory, magnifying his name. And then before you pull up your little wagon list of stuff you want, how about dealing with you and confessing sin? And this was a good guy. Nehemiah was a good guy. It's not about being good or bad. It's about you ain't God. He ain't either. Amen? And there's always something in us. We need to confess. This is a great thing to remember when you pray. Let your ear now be attentive. Nehemiah praying. And your eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and I what? Confess the sins of the children of Israel. Which who? They or we? We have sinned against you. Both who? I and my father's house have sinned. I think a lot of times we don't get our prayers answered because we don't confess our sin, or we confess in somebody else's sin. Amen? If you want to confess my sins, great, come see me. I'll pull up, or you can just, I'll give you a list of them. But I think it'd be better if you confess your sins. Amen? Say. Okay? We have dealt very what? Corruptly against you. Why wasn't the city walls built? Why wasn't Jerusalem restored for 90 years? There was some problems, folks. And so he confesses that sin. We've not kept your commandments. We've not kept your statutes and your judgments, which you've commanded your servant Moses. Amen? So Nehemiah, now he started out by asking a question. And look where the question got him. It got him on his knees, baby. And he prayed. He prayed the character of God. He prayed confession of his sin. Number three, he prayed how? With confidence in who? And his promises. And our strength is in the Lord, buddy. Our hope is in the Lord. And he prayed that way. And do you pray that way? Well, God just never answers my prayers. How you praying? Say, you pray with confidence? Did you know? I'm the biggest doubter in the building. I honestly believe that. I've struggled for years. And people like Dory Beamish by their nods when I say this. Mm-hmm. And I'm a worry wart, and I do stuff like that. But you know what? I don't know. It's finally hit me. We're going to do that building debt-free. That is crazy, people. A startup church. We are going to do that. Isn't that crazy?
Now, the confidence ain't in me and the confidence ain't in you. My confidence is in the Lord. He did not bring us this far so that I could say this, if we could work our tail off and work hard and give and do, to leave us high and dry. My confidence is in Him. You understand where I'm coming from? Now, that's just a building. I understand that. But I want to get us thinking that way a little bit. I want us to think about that a little bit as we start this new year off. I want us to get on focus. Amen? But in your life, do you pray with confidence in God and His promises? And I hate to tell you this, but if you don't know His Word, it's going to be hard to pray like this. You need to be in the Word. Amen? All kinds of Scriptures, all kinds of promises. He says, remember, I beseech thee, the Word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And that's exactly what God did to the nation of Israel. But, say it with me, if you what? Turn unto me and do what? And keep my commandments and do what? Do them. Though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I what? Gather them from thence, and I'll bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name. So, I mean, Nehemiah's hurting when he prayed this prayer. Worst news he had heard. Worst news he had heard. But instead of getting depressed, he hit his knees. Y'all listening? And he started out by praying, God, you're an awesome God. You can change things. You can help the situation because you're a great God. And he started looking inward at himself, how he could get clean, do right. And then he starts looking at the promises of God. And he starts to have confidence. So he goes from pitiful to now he's getting a little stronger. You feel him getting a little stronger? That's how prayer does you. And these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Man, he puts his back on God. Amen? These are your people. This is your city. This is where your name is. Amen? And you can see him getting stronger. So when you pray, do you pray with confidence in God? Are y'all listening or have I lost you? The last way he prayed in this little prayer was what? Commitment to God. How do you pray? Do you pray for somebody else to do something, or do you pray, God, help me to do something? Say. You pray, help so-and-so get right, or do you pray, help me get right with you? Yeah. Do you pray, oh, God, help us do that building and do it debt-free, but you don't give a dime hardly. You listening or not? I know this is ugly, but you don't get something done. But I pray. That's what God's Word teaches. Commitment. Are y'all hearing me or not? That's what we need to have our football team ain't it done. We don't have commitment. The coach told me the other day, y'all had yesterday practice, 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning. Not practice, but just warm-ups and getting strong and weight training and that kind of stuff. And he called me so excited. The head coach of the football team called me so excited because he told me y'all had like 100% commitment yesterday from the football team way back before football ever starts. It takes that in life if you want to be a winner. You listening? Commitment. And that's what he does. He has commitment. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee now. Let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of who? Your servant. And to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear thy name. And he says, and prosper, I pray, your servant this day. And grant me mercy in the sight of this man. For I, say it with me, was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah knew. Hey, the 90-year plan, Herman Cain's 90-year plan. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Wasn't going to work. It wasn't working. I'm not saying Herman's wouldn't, but I know this one won't. Amen? The 90-year plan was not working. The cities are broken down. The cities burned. The people are being devastated, decimated. And so, he knew it was going to take him. You listening? He knew it was going to take him.
he was in a precarious position because his king was not a Jew. His king was not a believer. He was willing to take his position and put it at risk. That's commitment, isn't it, say? You ever get out of your comfort zone? You ever put God to the test? You ever put yourself out there in a commitment to God? He did. But I'm going to tell you something. Say that with me. Proceed with what? Be careful not to just blow too much big smoke up in there. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. Proceed with caution when you make a commitment to God. Probably going to cost you. But the beauty of it is when you commit yourself to God, it's incredible what God can do. In my life this past year, at many times, all I had was my commitment to God. That's all I had. That's all I had. I'm committed to you, God. Help me, God. Give me strength, God. Give me strength, God. It's amazing, though. God is with you. God will not fail you, and God will never abandon you if you commit to Him. Did you hear me today? And so Nehemiah is ready to put it on the line and not leave it up to the team that's been working for how many years? 90 years! Kidding me. So Nehemiah not only prayed, Nehemiah what? And now we got to fly. And we might not make it. We'll go as far as we can get. I'm just having a Bible study, but trust me, we're not wherever we leave off. We're going to come back and pick it up, and I'll add more. Here we go. Nehemiah planned. Pop it up. He had thought about the task at hand. Didn't happen just with him asking that question. He asked the question to Hanani because it had been on his heart. It was something that he cared about. It was something that bothered him, and he asked him. He'd been thinking about what was going on, and he got the answer. And so he weighed the cost and the consequences. If he goes before the king, if he steps out of his own comfort zone, I'm so comfortable, I'm in the palace, I've got a great position, man. But he weighed those consequences. He knew this was risky business, doing what? Approaching who, the what? You got to keep in mind, does the king give a rip about Jerusalem, say? You kidding me? They're nothing. You know what I mean? It's crazy. I don't understand the culture, but what I do know about history and the culture in the past, it's not something you just did. Keep looking. He didn't go in half what? Cocked. Amen. He didn't go in half cocked. He didn't go in like, I mean, that's how we are sometimes. Life comes, problems come, situations come, and we just throw us up a little prayer, and we just don't get it. And that's why you keep screwing your life up. You don't go in serious. You're not committed. You're not committed to your life changing. I have served with people all the time in this church. People, I see them starting. I see them doing better. And then they just go back and start doing the same crap they've always done. You know why? Because they're just half-cocked. You listening or not? If you want to change, you can change. If you want to be committed to Christ and have a new life in Him, you can have it. How do you know, preacher? Because I got one. Amen? You hear what I'm saying to you? I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on God. God can change your life. But now if you just keep going a little, lay me down to sleep prayer, and I'm going to go half-cocked. Don't expect it. You hearing me? Roger's making faces at me. When he does that, it means I'm being ugly. Here we go. All that does is egg me on. Thank you. So Nehemiah did what? He planned, and then he did what? He proceeded. I'm going to quit with this one. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine, and I gave it to the king. Say that last part with me. Now I had not been before sad in his... That's very important. Since it doesn't say March, April, May, June, we don't really know, you know, because we don't look but about this crazy Jewish calendar thing going on here on the screen. It had been 4 months. It had been 4 months since he heard the bad news that wrecked his world, that started changing who he was as a person. But every day, He got up. Every day, he smiled. Every day, he served. Every day, he did his job. Why do I say that? Because so many of us, when something bad happens in our life, we choose to live life the rest of our life like that. Depressed, defeated, down. Everybody ever knows us knows our life's a wreck. Nehemiah didn't do that. Nehemiah bucked up. He planned. He prayed and he planned for a precise moment. And this was the day. So he comes in sad. Why? Because he's now moving forward with his plan. The king says unto him, why is your what? Countenance what? Seeing you're not sick. You look sick. You ain't sick. There is nothing else but what, the king says, sorrow of your heart that I was very afraid. Because people like that, the kings of those days, that power, off with your head. Get out of here. I could care less about you. You're expendable. And he said unto the king, let the king live forever. And then he says this, why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies in waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? We're going to quit right there. Amen? That's a crazy place to stop, isn't it? Sorry. Get your Bible and read it. Amen? We'll pick it up next week. We're talking about the man Nehemiah under construction. This story will amaze you in how little time. How long had this thing been happening in waste and they tried to fix it in how many years? How many? 90. You'll be surprised. When one man gets totally right with God, when one man makes a commitment to God, when one man puts his whole life, his future, even his own life on the line for God, it's amazing how quick things can turn around for a whole nation. When just one man says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. It's amazing. And that's what we're going to see in the weeks to come. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. Amen. The reason I quit is because the clock is dead on late.